Welcome to Community Out Loud.
I'm happy again to speak to Alec Brooks from Caris International. Caris is a Christian humanitarian agency helping needy people the world over. Started in 1995, Caris aims to raise awareness among fellow Christians of situations where people are suffering and to raise support to help those working to alleviate it. To learn more, please visit www.carisinternational.org. Alec, you spent a large part of your life working at Bethany Fellowship, a Christian community, mission agency, college, and publishing house located just outside Minneapolis. In the last few years, Bethany has changed, but originally it was founded as an intentional Christian community. Would you briefly explain what we mean by intentional Christian community?
Yeah, I think that most of us, wherever we live, in some sense, experience some degree of community, but it's usually accidental. That is, if we move into a neighborhood, we get to know people, but we normally don't move into neighborhoods because of the people that are there necessarily. And even Christians can get to know people with a sense of community in their churches. They become develop friendships, and they share part of their life together. An intentional community, on the other hand, is where a group of people as Christians decide they want to live their lives together. And so they move either into houses together or purchase a piece of property and build a community, the object being that they intend to live their life together. So therefore, it's an intentional community, not an accidental one. It's not one that just happens because people meet or in the same location. It's people who really make the choice to spend their lives together in community.
Not all Christian communities are structured with a common purse, but why do some communities choose to have one?
Well, I think that some might do it, for instance, for practical reasons, initially getting started, for example, if they're purchasing homes or they're purchasing land and building homes. They may feel they need to share their resources to give them some sort of financial basis to be able to do what they intend to do, and so they decide that they will take whatever resources they are and put them together. Others might do it not only to establish themselves, but because they have a purpose in mind that requires resources, financial resources, so they pull what they have, either from income earned through businesses they might begin or work that they do within the larger society, and they use they have the common purse in order to limit their own personal expenses so that they can use whatever is left over to fulfill purpose, support missionaries, do humanitarian aid work, those kinds of things.
Well, we at Life Mission, of course, have a common purse, and I believe Bethany, as it started and for the many years, had a common purse as well. Is that right?
Yes, Bethany had a common purse. They had a common purse for really as long as the community existed as a community. It was common purse.
Now, is a common purse really a biblical concept?
Well, I used to think that when Bethany began, actually, it started more with the sense that of rather than these families who were meeting together initially in Bible studies, they weren't in community in the sense that we're talking about intentional community, but out of that grew a desire to spend their lives together in service, in serving God and one another. And they thought, you know, we spend so much of our time, our energy, and our resources, each in our individual home. What if we moved together, pooled our resources so that we could spend our time and our resources doing the kinds of things we want to do as far as serving God was concerned? So in a sense, it was, although they really looked at it on the basis of Acts chapter 2, where there was a sharing of resources, but it was focused more on how they could begin their community and what they could do through the community with those shared resources. So they would have seen it more as a biblical practice than necessarily a biblical principle. I think that's how I would say it.
And I think a lot of communities often do quote, who have common purse, quote Acts 2 and Acts 4 mm-hmm. for biblical justification of that.
That's right. But I think it's often seen as a practice, not necessarily as an essential expression of what it means to be in community. And that's not true of all of them, of course. With some, I think you would have a mixture there within communities.
So we wouldn't say that the Bible actually explicitly says and prescribes all Christians to have to share a structure of common purse.
No, I don't think that that would be the case. But interestingly, the more that I look at it, it appears there in Acts 2 and Acts 4 that you've referred to, that the early Christians, interestingly, as they understood what God was like, who is this God they have come to know in Jesus Christ, that they began to see that God was triune. He was a communion. And if they were going to express through their life together this God who is communion in his being, they had to express it through a communal relationship. Not only that, they saw that this God who was triune, in a sense, had all things in common. It was a shared divine nature, a shared divine love. And in essence, I think they were saying is, all right, how can we express, if we say we know such a God, then it must be expressed in how we live our life together. And one of the ways they expressed that was by saying, we have all things in common, just as God himself does.
So like the economic sharing was really just a logical expression of them following after the triune God.
I think so. I don't think it was a social experiment. I don't think, some people say, well, it was early communism. I think that's an inaccurate description because communism was a political social movement, whereas that's not what they were doing. This was that you could say it was a theological biblical movement. That is that they had come to see God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three who are one, and therefore the unity is that which they share, and out of that unity then there is an expression of commonality in the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were then in essence saying, that means that we, if we are truly loving and serving this God, have to express that together, and also recognizing that then we don't have anything that is mine, it must be ours. And so therefore they basically said then there's an exchange that takes place so that we share together what we all have.
So rather than there being some kind of policy or strict structural mandate, we can't use the Bible to say that that existed, but it was more of a spirit of commonality, and this is what was expressed.
Well, I think that's it. I think it was also a recognition that, first of all, they were all equal, that they were not, for instance, looking at each other as society tends to look at people status-wise. For instance, certain people are in a higher socioeconomic level, others are poor, and so people then try to, redistribute wealth to try and balance that out. On a social level, they didn't look at that. They said, look, God is one, yet he is three, and the Father and Son are equally God. We then are equally the church. And therefore, as brothers and sisters in Christ, therefore we are to treat each other as equal in Christ. And it's not about social status. It's not about economic status. It's about recognizing then this oneness has to be expressed in caring and loving for one another if we're going to be true to who God is.
So there's a lot of different kinds of structures that these kind of communities can take, not just one kind, but there's a common theme among all of them, and that is this element of intention.
That's right. In other words, that these are people that I choose to live my life with and commit my life to some degree.
For us, our experience of having a common purse is that we've had to create some kind of structure to make this a reality. Do you think that violates biblical principle?
No, I don't think. For instance, it's interesting, even in the book of Acts there, chapters 2 and 4, they didn't, interestingly enough, just take their whatever goods they could sell or resources, their houses and lands it talks about, and then give it away. They actually brought it to the apostles. So there was a structure there of leadership, and it says it was distributed then through that structure. Now, it doesn't give us a great detail because they weren't laying out a structure, but there was structure within the early church, obviously. And through the structure that existed, that's how the goods were distributed. But the basic thing was the principle that we are one, and if we are truly one, as God is one and God is love, then we have to express what that means in our relationship together. And the other interesting thing, though, is that it preceding the expression of commonality was their understanding God has raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, we are now people who are free. They were liberated from the fear of death and from the fear of Satan and the fear of sin that had been overcome. But why is it that people want to hang on to possessions? Why do they pursue them and why do they want to hang on to them? Really, in a sense, out of a desire for security, for I need this, or for status, or for significance or satisfaction, these kinds of things. But they found that in Christ, or those things in Christ.
So not all Christians are called to be a part of some kind of common purse structure. Is that right? Was that fair to say?
I think it would be fair to say, but I think at the same time, I think all Christians have to recognize that we don't own anything. Because if all things are Christ's and we are Christ's, then we don't own anything. We have a stewardship. The question then is how we use our resources under the direction of Christ, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The other thing is, though, I think that's important, and that is that the reason they were free to do that is they had relationships with one another which said, look, we are committed to one another. We don't have to look to money or possessions for security or well-being. We will care for one another. We're committed to one another. Today, people would find that hard to think of because if you don't have your own resources, who's going to do that for you? Or maybe the government steps in, but that's not relational. That's governmental. It's bureaucratic. The early church, it was relational. It was the relationships that were the key.
Well, and we kind of touched on this already, but how does this participating in a compurse not make you a communist?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, the word communist is so loaded with the idea there was, of course, that first of all, it tended to be atheistic, so the individual had no value. You were only valuable as part of the whole. That's why it was understood as communistic. The biblical picture isn't that way because God is three persons who are one, and it's a unity of love and self-giving. It is not something that's imposed upon people to achieve a common leveling. It is a valuing of each person and recognizing in these relationships that we have to one another of love and commitment and concern, it's out of that that we join together and freely give to one another, not by compulsion and not by an attempt to level everything.
And there's no sense of authoritarianism.
No, and it's not authoritarian, but it's also the recognition that each person is equal in value. Mm-hmm. Each person is not, people are different. You see, that's again rooted in the Godhead. You have the unity of the Godhead. God has his being in communion, and he is love. But the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the mm-hmm. Spirit. So within a community, there is an equal, we're equal in value, but there's diversity. Each person is unique. But we're all equal because we share a common humanity and a common faith in Christ.
And it's not like the community or the group supersedes the individual.
No. Well, I think the word individual always is difficult. I think I would say that each person, we are persons in the context of relationships. That's who we are. And therefore, we recognize that this giving and receiving in relationships establishes our sense of who we are as persons. And also, when we value each other, then we're not a threat to each other. We lose the sense of competitiveness. For instance, one of the problems you have, say, in a larger society is that if you work for a company, your value is seen as residing in what can you do to achieve the company's ends. How can you increase its productivity? How do you increase its quality? And the lower you are down in that scale of value, the less you're rewarded. Whereas in a Christian community, your value resides in who you are. Mm. And you may not be able to contribute as much in some sense as others in terms of what your abilities are, what you can do, but you're equal in value as a person and loved accordingly.
How does a common purse enable believers to more fully live out the Christian vision?
Well, I think, again, first of all, it does mean that we are committed to one another. That is the source of our real rest and freedom from anxiety, that whatever come what may, this group of people will love me and care for me. I don't have to look at my bank account for my security. My significance doesn't reside in how society sees me in terms of status. I am with this group of people who are committed to me, who will care for me through thick and thin. I can be free from that anxiety. And therefore, it is the relationships are the key. If the relationships aren't there, insecurity will always be there, because who will care for me? Who will stand with me? Who will be for me throughout my life?
So do you think in the coming kingdom, in a sense, in the new creation, we'll be sharing a common purse?
Absolutely. I think that we will indeed, we'll be like God, and that that everything, the whole objective of creation was in order that God might share his love, shed his love upon us and pour his love upon us, and then the whole of eternity we be are expressing that love to one another, giving and receiving. The life and love that God is will be the life and love that we are.
What caveats should Christians think about if they're considering starting a common purse together?
Well, I think to me it's important that it isn't looked at as just a kind of a policy, just a sort of a bookkeeping exercise or a way of just making sure nobody gets more than anybody else. I think it has to be seen as this is rooted in our understanding of who God is and how that is reflected in who we are in relationship to him and one another. In other words, it's seen as a biblical expression, not simply an economic expression. Mm. It's not just a policy. It's really rooted in the biblical understanding.
I'm sure there might be situations where one who was in a common purse eventually leaves, and I wonder, are there policies or maybe principles that community should follow in kind of crafting a policy to deal with that possibility?
You mean, I'm not sure I understand what you mean. If somebody leaves,
so maybe someone starts off with a group, they form a common purse,
yeah,
but maybe down the road they feel they should leave. Is there any kind of principles that can guide the group to craft policies to help individual possibility?
Yeah, I think that's what I would say is that the same commitment we have to one another within the community that cares for one another, when someone for whatever reason chooses to leave the community, obviously we want them to leave with blessing. And we also recognize that the relationship that they have known is changing, and they're going into a relationship where there will be a great deal more insecurity and challenge. I think we can have a policy that says that, okay, we will send them out with blessing and we will help them because we still love them and care for them. And so we will in some way make it possible for them as best we can with whatever resources we have for them to make that next step. I think a community, whether they have it as an official policy, I think it would be, a relational response. We care for you. We love you. You've made this decision. We would rather you hadn't, but here's what we will do to try to help you make that transition. That then becomes the community needs to think and pray about what that would mean and how best that is done.
Well, it's certainly a large topic that we could talk about many, many times and for quite a while, but I think this has been helpful just to cover these basics and think over some of the philosophy and reasons why we would share in a common purse, and indeed how it reflects a biblical image of a Christian vision.
Yes, and again, as I say, it is interesting in the Acts 2 and Acts 4 chapters how it is not something that's imposed on them. It is it's their expression of their understanding of what God is like and how they as a people, in order to express the love and life of the triune God, respond to one another.
Well, Alec, thanks again for being with us and sharing from your experience.
Thank you.